to talk about home. You know, when you think of home, a lot of time you think of a lot of pleasant memories. Home is a special place. It's a place of rest. It's a place of comfort. It's a place that we often look forward to in the time when there is, we've been working, right?
Yes.
And we look forward to going home, to relax, right? Also, I think of home as security. It's secure in many ways because we have familiar people that know us and that understand us. When we go out into the world and we talk to maybe on the job or in the community, a lot of time we're around strangers and we're around people that don't really understand our, you know, our feelings. We get to share our grief with home people. We get to share our joy with home people. Sometimes I listen to Sarah sometimes when she's talking on the phone and she's laughing and she's having a good time sharing with her family because she feels comfortable. Things that they find is funny, she can laugh and feel comfortable about it. And so home is a special place. We thank the Lord for our heavenly home. You know, the Bible speaks of our heavenly home. And it also speaks of our habitation because home is a place of habitation. And as the people of God, we have a habitation. And God has provided this for us. So we want to look into the Word and see what the Word says about our home, our habitation. Let's go to Hebrews 11, starting at the 13th verse.
13th verse?
Mm-hmm.
These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
Keep going to 16.
For they that say such things declare plainly that they see a country, that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city.
See, this city that they were looking forward to is the heavenly city. It's the heavenly home. It's the habitation that we can expect to go to. So we are just pilgrims and strangers in this world. Sometimes we get caught up with the things of this world. And yet we need to realize there it's only temporary. We're not here forever. And so, but we do have a home, our eternal home, that we need to keep in focus, keep our minds on. And yet, it's not that we don't do the things that we need to do here, but while we're doing it, we need to keep our focus on our eternal home. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 2 to 4.
For in this to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Earnestly desiring to be clothed on with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life.
See here, in this life, we groan. We have a desire that someday we'll go and we'll be in our heavenly home, that our mortal body, this body that decays and that will go away, will be swallowed up in with our immortal body. So we want to keep. I was thinking about how sometimes we can get all involved in a lot of things in life, and that's natural. But we want to daily keep our focus on our heavenly home, because it's going to affect how we live. If we look and realize that we're only here for a little while, and then this mortality is going to be swallowed up in immortality, then we'll be careful how we live. We'll make sure of our steps. We'll make sure that what we do counts for eternity. These things will pass away. Maybe I might be a good cook, so to speak, but that passes away. Or I might be a good, friend. I have friends. I might have many things that I can do well in this life, but it's going to pass away. It's not going to last forever. So we need to keep that as our main focus. And I thought about the disciples right after Jesus died. I believe they had their minds so much on heaven and so much on being reunited with the Lord that they counted the little afflictions and the things that they had as nothing. And we need to do that. That's what's going to help us make it through the problems of life, through the trials and through the temptation. I want to talk a little bit more about homes. We were saying that it's a place that we relax and we get refreshment from it, from the home, when maybe we've been out and about taking care of chores and everything. And yet, when we go home, we are happy to get there because we can take off our shoes. We can put on comfortable clothes. We can just walk around. For me, I like warm weather. So at home, I like to turn my thermostat up and enjoy. Pretend I'm in the tropics, so to speak. But it's also a place of tranquility, calmness. Yes. That's what it should be. Home should be a place where the children, for instance, when they come home, they should feel secure. They shouldn't feel like people are going to ridicule them, look down on them, or call them out of their names and everything. They get that at school, and maybe even sometimes the teachers get mad at them and say things. But when they come home, they feel like their parents accept them for who they are, how they look, whatever, no criticism about these things. That's what home should be like. In the spiritual realm, the habitation of the people of God should be the same. It should be a place of refuge. It should be a place of tranquility. It should be a place of acceptance. Now, that doesn't mean that we accept all kind of sin and everything, but our whole attitude is accepting people, loving them. That's what home is like. So in the Bible, we're going to read about what the habitation of the people of God is like. It's in Isaiah 32, and we're going to read verses 17 and 18. So it should be a place of peace and comfort and joy.
And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceful, in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, sure meaning secure, and in quiet resting places.
That's what you get when you're living right. When you live a righteous life, you're going to have a peaceable habitation. People come to your house, they can feel the tranquility and the comfort that they get by being around you because you are His people. When we give our heart to the Lord, He makes a change. All that turmoil and anger and bickering, that stops. When you're really truly living for God, that stops because the Lord helps you and He helps you to know how to deal with life in a peaceable way. So this is the way of home. When we say habitation, that's home, home of the soul, home for the people of God. And so we want to be encouraged to live in this peaceable habitation. Psalms 91 and 9. I'm thankful that you're reading for me.
Well, we know the first verse of that psalm says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." But you want verse 9?
Yes.
"Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling."
You see, if we give our heart to the Lord and live for Him, we will live in a habitation that's peaceful, that the Lord will surround us with His presence. He will protect us. He will help us. All of this is what we get when we give our heart to the Lord. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. Salvation is a beautiful place to be in. Not only that we have our souls forgiven, but the very surrounding about us is peaceable. It's tranquil. It's restful. You know, it's quiet. So we thank the Lord for this home He gives us. We can expect, if we live right, to have our heavenly home, to be able to enjoy the beauties of heaven. But even before we leave here, God gives us this right here. We have a habitation that's quiet and peaceable. Psalms 132 and 13.
"For the Lord hath chosen Zion, He hath desired it for His habitation."
Thank the Lord. That's why it's so peaceful, because the Lord is there. The Lord is in our home, so to speak. That's why it's so restful. All of this comes from God. If we choose the Lord, then He chooses us. It reciprocates. One, we chose Him to live for Him. And two, He chose us to live with us. And if the Lord is with us, there's peace, there's calmness, there's quietness, there's happiness, there's joy, everything good. And so we get everything good here. It's a win-win situation when we live for God, because right here in this world, we get all these different blessings. And then when we leave here, we're going to get more blessings. Let's go to Psalms 26 and 8.
"For I have loved the habitation of thy house, and the place where thine honor dwelleth."
Don't you just love it? I love the habitation of the house of God. Don't you know that when we give our heart to the Lord, we got all these beauties that we have to enjoy. We can have home can be a wonderful place to go to. There are some people that are not living for God, and home is, they call it dysfunctional. You know, a lot of turmoil, a lot of anger, a lot of bad words, all of those things. But in the God, in the, I started to say church of God, but in the habitation of the Lord, it's not so. Everything is calm and peaceful. Let's go now to 2 Timothy 4 and read verses 6 through 8. So if we live a righteous life in this world, we can expect these wonderful blessings of our eternal home. And going to heaven will be like a homecoming. Know how sometimes you might go somewhere and then when you come home, everybody's welcoming you and they are so glad to have you? The same way with heaven. If we live right in this world, then when we die, it's going to be a homecoming and it's going to be a blessing. Read that.
I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all men also that love his appearing.
So here, Paul says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. He's looking forward now to his homecoming. So henceforth, he said, is laid up for me a crown. Read that part.
Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all men also that love his appearing.
So that's what he was looking for, his homecoming. I'm looking for mine. When I leave here and finish my course, I'm looking for my homecoming. And one of the things I can expect is a crown of righteousness. But there are lots more things that we can expect for our homecoming. So we want to live faithful to him. We want to do the things that he asks us to do. And we can expect to have a wonderful welcome when we go to heaven. Now, Jesus wanted us to look forward to this. He designed it for us, and he made this promise to us, and he wants us to keep our eyes on what he has for him. And let's go to John 14 and read verses 1 through 3. Jesus provided all of this for us. We can have this because of Jesus. If he had not died on the cross, we would be groping in sin, and we probably would not, very few people made it into heaven. But since Jesus has come and died, he opened it up to all mankind, not just a few people, not just a chosen people, but all of us have the opportunity to have this great homecoming. We can live right here, and when we live right here, when we go to heaven, we're going to be welcomed there. Sometimes, have you ever been to a place and you didn't feel so welcome, or you felt like maybe they might not really want you there? But not so when it comes to heaven. If we live right here, we're going to be special guests. Don't you know that? We'll be like special guests. All right, John 14 and 1.
Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Look at that. Jesus is letting us know. If we have trouble, or if we feel in despair, or any of those things here, let not your heart be troubled. You were speaking of your husband. You were there when he passed. I wasn't there when my husband passed. But I felt the pain. So I know the pain. And yet when you have that pain, you know that Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. He's comforting us. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Then he tells us to look. In other words, don't just look at what you're dealing with here on this earth. Look beyond it. Look to heaven. Look, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. Can you imagine what that? Visualize the Lord Jesus telling us today, don't let your heart be troubled. Whatever distresses you, don't allow it to distress you, because I'm coming back for you. I am going to prepare a place for you. This place, this home, is going to be perfect for you. Perfect. Whatever you are, or however you are, no sin's going there. But it will fit you. You won't have to feel out of place. I'm preparing this place for you. You and you and you and you and me, each individually. He's preparing that place for us. And so we can be encouraged and to lift our eyes from the troubles of life, the trials, the tribulations, whatever we face, and have our expectation and our hope beyond this life. Let's go to Ephesians now. Chapter 1, verse 14.
Which is the earnest of our...
Go up a little bit. Probably try 13. I wrote 14, but we wanted...
In whom you also trusted, talking about Christ, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Yes.
Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession.
Yes.
Unto the praise of his glory.
One of these days, we are going to be caught up with him in the air. We got a little earnest. You know, some people talk about earnest money. We got a little taste of what we're going to have. But we are sealed. And one of these days, we're going to be caught up with him. And we're not only going to have that earnest, so to speak, earnest money, we're going to have the real thing. We're going to see it face to face. And it's going to be wonderful and glorious. Hebrews now 6 and 17. Oh, you know what? If I could only give a little inkling of what a beautiful life we are going to receive. We have this beautiful life here, but in eternity, it's going to be so glorious. It's one song, I think it said, just one glimpse of him in glory will all the toils of life one. And I can imagine that when I think of Stephen, and they were stoning Stephen. But you know what? He looked up and he saw Jesus. The heavens opened, he saw him. Don't you know that one glimpse of heaven, that one glimpse of Jesus was enough for him? And no matter how hard those stones were feeling, and they were snuffing the life out of him, he could still have that expectation. Only it's just go a little farther, Stephen. Just go a little farther. You're going to be here with me. And he, what did he say? He didn't even hold a grudge. He said, Lord, with a loud voice, lay not this sin to their charge. What a beautiful picture he was able to receive of just one glimpse of Jesus standing there, not even sitting, standing there on the right hand of God. And you know what? They said his face was as the face of an angel. What a beautiful life he had. He, in spite of all of the, whatever they were saying to him or doing to him, he had the face of an angel in spite of whatever was happening to him. We can do the same. Let's be encouraged because these things are going to pass away. But one day, just one glimpse of him in glory will all the toils of life repay. Let's go to Hebrews 6 and 17.
Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil.
You see, when we live for God, we have a hope. Our hope is not in this world, but it's in our heavenly home. That's our hope. When we are encouraged to follow Jesus, to do what he says do, because our hope is beyond this world. It's in heaven. And I was thinking about, there's a scripture, it's 1 Corinthians 15 and 9. There are some people whose hope is only here. And when they have that hope, they're miserable. If you get that, I would like you to read it. I was thinking about, there's a religion that kind of have more of a hope just for this world. And that is, according to the scriptures, that is not a good place to be in. If I don't have any hope beyond this world of going to heaven, I'm going to be miserable. Heaven is our hope. And that's what keeps us going. That's what gives us the courage to press through hard times and to look beyond the darkness and know that there's light at the end of the way.
1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable.
So we want to remember that. Our hope must be beyond this world. And if it's not, we're going to be very miserable. Now let's turn and look at some of the things that we can expect in our heavenly home. Let's go to Revelation, read chapter 7, 13 to 17.
And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
Look at what our heavenly home is going to be like. No hunger, no thirst, No, oh, I'm hot. I can't stand. It's too hot. None of that. No tears. No sadness. No sorrow. All joy. All peace. All happiness. Great anticipation. Let's keep our eyes on heaven. Isaiah 25:8. I want to go there. More than anything in this life, I want to go there.
He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces.
So, it sounds like we're talking about death, but death is victory. It's victory. You know, all of our saved loved ones that died, they got victory. And you know, I think about Sister Georgette. Over and over, I cannot get this picture out of my mind. I do have a vivid imagination. So Brother Edwards was preaching her funeral, and he said, right before, he was there when she died. Right before she died, he said, an amazing smile came over her face. I wonder what she saw. That's what he said. And before then, her daughter had told me, my mother had such a beautiful smile on her face. I wanted to take a picture, but so much was happening. Nobody could get that picture. So it's in the minds of those people that saw it. But it's beauty. Sometimes we look and we do. We're sad because we miss our loved ones. But when they are saved, death is swallowed up in victory. And we can comfort our hearts to say it was victory. And it will be victory for us too if we would just trust in him and live for him. I have many scriptures here, but I want to, let's go to Revelations 22:3-5. We just want to take a little glimpse of some of the things that we'll see. In Revelations, we know that a lot of it's symbolic, but it gives us a picture of heaven.
There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. I think this is talking about
3, 4, and 5.
Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever.
And let's go to 21:16.
And the city lieth four square, and the length of it is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and breadth of, and the height of it are equal.
I think we're going to have, it's a lot talking about the measurement. Let's go, I want to go to 23 and go to 27.
And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, that they which are written in the Lamb's book of life.
So everybody's not going to be able to enjoy this. Only those that are saved and their name is written in the Lamb's book of life. No matter how beautiful it is, we have to live according to God's word in order to be a part, to be able to have this great hope and this great anticipation. Now we want to go to Ecclesiastes 12, and we're going to read 1 through 5. So we want to be prepared. There is a way to prepare ourselves that we can be able to have this great anticipation of our heavenly home.
Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them.
Yes, keep going.
The sun, or the night, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. Can you read some more?
Keep going.
And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets.
You see, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Those things that's named in this scripture are the things that happen to you as you get old. And that's considered the evil days. The grinders cease because they're few, that teeth fall out, your eyes get dim, you get nervous and can't stand noise, and all of these things happen. So, but while we are strong and while we're able, let's remember the Lord and live for him. Give our heart to God. And then it says, because in the end, desire fails because man goes to his long home. Our long home is our eternal home. And we want our home to be in heaven. So we have to live in the way God wants us to in order to go there. And so let's live for God. Let's do all we can for the Lord, so that when we leave here, we'll go to our heavenly home. Pray for me.